If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you're Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, turn the notifications on. If you're Apple, we recommend Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server. Yes, we put a lot of stuff on Twitter, but that's going to change here. We're going to be putting more and more of it on Off the Floor. Make sure that you go to the best, most active, most constant Heat community. Check it out, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description on the YouTube channel and the podcast feed. Also, check it out, our new sponsor. Well, not a new sponsor. It's a sponsor that's been with us, but it's a great sponsor, and they've got a new promotion. They've got all kinds of stuff for Mother's Day. Check it out. You go to shoptubculture.com. Again, that's shoptubculture.com. Use the code 5. You get 10% off orders of $20 or more. Handcrafted bath and body care. That's what you can get there. Again, great for Mother's Day. There is still time to get your orders in. So check it out. There's unique stuff here. This is not that store that you see in the mall. These are great local people, big Miami Heat fans. Check them out at shoptubculture.com. I think tubculture.com goes there directly as well. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. They've got a deal on there now. Bath bombs now 3 for $15. That's limited time. But again, you can get everything on the site for 10% off using that code 5 to spend $20. Shoptubculture.com. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. We actually have a content day today. We like those. It was exit interview day, today's floor plan. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Again, I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. And I just want to clarify something here before we start, because the word exit interview, I think fans take it the wrong way, and I saw that a lot on Twitter today. The actual exit interviews are between the players and the team, between the players and team officials, okay? That's the exit interview. The media availability is just an extension of the exit interview. That's not the actual exit interview, but I understand why fans get those things conflated a little bit, and that created some confusion today, and I'll explain why. There are 18 players under contract in some way for the Miami Heat. Three of them are two-way players. That's Swider, Alondis Williams, and Jamal Kane. Okay, and then there's 15 contract players. Now, all 18 of them, it's my understanding, did their exit interviews with the team. Okay, they didn't all do media availability. Now, most of them did. Now, here's the ones that declined, and a couple of these are interesting. And I will tell you that the first three of these, actually, I predicted with the beat writers when we sat down. Jimmy Butler did not speak to the media today. Tyler Hero did not speak to the media today. Terry Rozier did not speak to the media today. And Kevin Love did not speak to the media today. All four of them declined interviews. Okay. Now, before I get to the others who didn't speak, in Kevin's case, I understand it. He's been talking about his future to me, he talked about it to Anthony, to others over the past few days. We kind of know his situation. I think he can come back if he wants to come back. he's been extremely accessible with the media all year long. So pass. Okay. That's where I'm at on it. Terry Rozier, it would have been nice to hear from him. Of course, he's been injured, and there's a big cloud over what that injury is exactly. The team has been a little cryptic about it, as they tend to be. Would have been nice to hear from Terry today. I don't get the sense he likes these kind of gatherings just since he's arrived. That's the sense that I've gotten. So again, not surprised. Would have been nice to hear from him, but okay. Tyler Herro. Now, this is the one that got the most attention on Twitter. And Alex, I'm going to say this as I bring you into it. I think that's because of how polarizing he is in general. So there was a perception that, okay, Tyler doesn't want to stand up and take the punches. I heard some people say he's soft, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, this comes after Udonis Haslam, who works for the team now, by the way, but is also a part-time podcaster and media guest. We'd love to have you back on here, UD, for your fourth appearance. He came on and said what a lot of Heat fans have said for a long time, and we've talked about on the show, that the team is best off when Tyler is a sixth man. And so people thought maybe Tyler didn't want the smoke. Now, where I'm going to interject on this is, Tyler always stands up and talks to the media. Okay, so I'm going to defend him in this case. All right, like, would it have been nice to hear from him today? Yes. Anything that Tyler would have said would have been taken out of context, twisted, right, and driven by various agendas. Am I right on that, Alex?
1,000%. That's 100% what I think it is. He's been speaking this whole time, like, throughout all these games. He's active. He's playing. He's getting asked hard questions before and after. I mean, not before, but after each game and during shoot-arounds, like, he's been available throughout all this. So I think he should – like, I understand that people, you know, would have liked to hear a little bit more from him, maybe to address, you know, the end of the season just like others. But he's been available throughout. I just think he's become, you know, the face of their problems. And people just kind of have their takes that – honestly, I feel like there's a lot of confirmation bias going on with this playoff run. We can get into that another time because you know, it's obvious that Tyler is not a number one option against a great team. And I know that's going to sound like an excuse to people. People don't want to hear that. It doesn't mean I'm excusing his play. Like, he missed a ton of makeable shots in that last game particularly, and only had one good game. I mean, had one great game, right? And the others were either mid or very bad. And so, yeah, like, I'm not excusing what he did. I just, honestly, that my expectations were there. I didn't think he was going to have a good series versus that team. And, you know, I just feel, like you said, if he would have gone out there, it was going to be ugly regardless, like whether he spoke or not. And he's been available throughout this time. I was more interested to hear from Terry, was more interested, of course, to hear from Jimmy. Not that I had any expectation, but those were the guys, like guys who haven't spoken in a while and who have, like you said, kind of clouds over their situations. Not that we need to know every detail, right, about their health or anything, but, like, you know, that's kind of what we're there for, is to kind of get an idea of what's going on. And
we're, know, an extension, we're an extension of the fans. And I'm going to get to the next guy in a second. Okay. There's nothing Tyler could have said. He would have been asked about getting traded again. He would have asked how he was approaching this summer. He would have asked about the media noise and all that kind of stuff. Again, would it have been nice to have him there? Sure. Okay.
People should just go back and watch the other ones from the past, because he's going to say the same thing.
He has said things, and whenever he says things or he compares himself to this player or that player or says he wants to start, he gets raked over the coals for it. And again, I that is my experience with him. Okay, he sees everything. I can tell when he's irritated by maybe stuff that we've said or he's heard that we've said. I get it, but he has been stand up in that regard. We're going to focus the rest of this episode on Eric Spoelstra, and then we're going to talk about the players who did talk in the next episode. I'm going to get into that with Brady. But I'm going to say this. It's not acceptable for Jimmy Butler to blow it off today. I'm just going to say it flat out, okay? I'm giving Tyler a pass. I'm not giving Jimmy a pass. I know, okay, that he's injured. I understand that. And I'm not questioning his commitment to the organization. He is the face of this franchise still. He's the star. He's not the captain, but this stuff keeps getting dumped on the captain because he's accountable. I mean, Bam spoke all the way through after the last game.
Every game,
and was there today. And to me, this is becoming somewhat symbolic of this entire situation. everything gets dumped on Bam. Okay. And we'll get to Bam's comments. Probably Brady and I will in the next episode, but I'm sorry. Like, I remember LeBron blew off one of these. Okay. I think it was 2014 actually. And I've been at every one of these. Okay. I think he blew off one and he got killed for it. And people looked at it as a sign of something else. I think Jimmy Butler should have spoken today. And particularly with the swirl out there, whoever's creating that swirl, okay, whatever camp it is or whatever team it is, and maybe some of it's coming from Philadelphia, because I will tell you this right now, okay, and we've talked about Jimmy's contract situation. I did it with Alex Dono on the Five Guys, which we posted on the feed, because it is relevant, okay, and it's a reasonable conversation to have about whether or not you go all in with him and give him the extension. And I've tried to clarify, it's really a one-year extension. It's like a couple million more on the player option year, but then it's basically giving him $58 million for what will be his year, I guess, 37, age 37 season, okay? I'm not totally against that, by the way, okay? If that's the direction they're going with this build, if you've decided you're going all in on him, okay, fine. I've simply said there need to be some stipulations here. And when we get into Eric Spoelstra, we'll talk about this. Some stipulations here to make sure that he's more available during the regular season and setting a tone during the regular season, not just waiting for April. But I'm not totally against giving him an extension. I'm not anti-Jimmy. Jimmy has exceeded my expectations since he came in. And I've said on various podcasts, that, like, I don't get taken personally about the media shit anymore. Okay, I really don't. But I do think there are certain times that as the leader of the franchise, whether you're the captain or not, and particularly when you're seeking a two-year, $113 million extension, take the 5 minutes and answer some questions. And particularly at this time, I mean, all he really had to do was come out and say today, I want to be with the Miami Heat. That's it. Like, that's really all people want to know right now, because now what ends up happening –
he's reiterated it so many times, too. So, like, it should be theoretically easy for him to say it again.
It should be theoretically easy, but it doesn't mean he shouldn't do it. Those are two different things. And I think in the context of this, okay, what's going to happen now is there's a vacuum. This is the same vacuum that existed with LeBron. When the player doesn't speak, and the only time we've heard from Jimmy recently is when he decided to do a TNT interview, okay? As I've said, he didn't do a Bally's Sports Winner's Circle interview the entire season, declined it every single time. Okay. Again, I don't even care. That's not me. Okay. There are others who are doing those interviews. So this isn't about me. It's not about Five on the Floor. It's not about Five Reasons Sports. I'm just saying, like, today with this swirl out there to say that you're aligned with Eric Spoelstra, which I believe he is, by the way, we'll get into that when we talk about Spo, or I'm aligned with this organization, or I want to build this way. I mean, the emo Jimmy stuff was cute at the beginning of the year, but now people are starting to read into everything. And when there's a vacuum because you don't hear his voice, that's what you started to get today on Twitter. So again, I don't know if he had rehab. I don't know what the situation was. All I see is his buddy Ernie posting IG things and them playing the video tennis games. I'm just saying, like,
Instagram today? His stories.
I did not check.
Typical like screenshots of music that he's listening to, and it was around the same time that we were there at the arena.
It wouldn't even surprise me if that's intentional. And here's the thing about it: he hasn't gotten a bad run from the media down here. I mean, the media has glorified him. Like, what would you say? Like, has there been any criticism? I mean, a lot of the stuff I talked about with Dono about how the organization has given him a lot more leeway than they gave LeBron, which is just, it's just fact. Okay. I'm not hating. It's just fact. I was there for all of LeBron and I kind of know what's gone on roughly, not as well as I did during the big 3 years, but I know roughly what's gone on here the past 4 or 5 years. That's not hating. That's just reality of it. And we really haven't called him out on it. The media hasn't really called him out on it. We just kind of been like, okay, Jimmy being Jimmy, as long as he produces in the playoffs, nobody really cares. And again, nobody is saying he hasn't been a productive player or he hasn't provided incredible moments for this organization. He has. I mean, if you talk about moments, it's pretty much what? Dwayne, LeBron, and him. I mean, right? Like, we talk about the greatest games. So, but I still think, and we will devote the second half of this episode to Spo, because I'm going to start with how he talked about Jimmy today. I just think he should have spoken today. And I will say this, okay? Last 24 hours, it's not just the David Aldridge report, which is, I think, and I like David, and David is not a clickbaiter. Okay. And he's been a professional for a long time. But I think that's coming from somewhere else. I think that's Philadelphia or other teams trying to drum up a little bit of dissension here with Miami and Jimmy and kind of feeling it out. That's my perception of it. But I will tell you that of my media friends at ESPN, okay, I got a ton of texts over the last 24 hours, and I said this on Playback yesterday. It's going to be an interesting summer for you. And every time I say, well, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to move the third guy. And they're like, no, look above that. Like the perception at ESPN, for whatever reason, wherever they're getting it, okay, these are their reporters on the ground, is that there could be movement with Jimmy Butler this summer. I still think he's going to get his extension here and stay. That's my lean. But there's a lot of noise out there right now. And I just kind of feel like in his own way, and he's good at this stuff. He's smart. He knows what to say. He knows how to troll. I think he could have put a lot of it to bed today if he simply came out there and said, I want to finish my career with the Miami Heat. And by the way, his people around him have always said that. But we've never had this level of smoke, okay, around him. And there is a real issue here, which is, do you give him the additional year for an extension? So I'll let you have a final thought on that. And then on the other side of this, I do want to get to Spo.
Honestly, wasn't prepared for another final thought on that. I'm 100% with you on Jimmy. I wanted to hear him speak. And it was weird. Like, I was not expecting, you know, just like you, to hear, you know, all this scuttlebutt coming around the same time, like from literally just a bunch of ESPN guys. So it sounds like they're all hearing it from the same place. I mean, it's almost definitely not the Heat, right? Like, I think we can be pretty sure that it's probably not coming from the Heat. But who knows, right? And it is weird. I'm like you. I still feel like the Heat essentially giving him an extra year on top of what he already has, and just kind of being done with. Because they're like, you know, and we're going to talk about this, but you know, in the other half, but Spo is very much somebody who you guys have talked about has a lot of influence with the front office. And he was adamant today about them, you know, always being championship driven. And he's been saying that forever, but like, it didn't sound like, you know, a press conference, you know, kind of commemorating the end of an era or anything like that. Like, it sounded like, you know, we're going to get right back to it next year. I know we're about to talk about that, but as a result, that makes me feel even stronger that they're probably going to, you know, do everything they can to bring him back with that, you know, extra year.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in more episodes, but we're going to pivot to Spo. We'll start with Spo's comments on Jimmy today in response to my question, because I think it's a good place to lead into this. Before we do, I want to mention another great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Speaking of Heat fans, probably would have liked to have heard from Butler, Hero, and Rozier today. Our friends over at Mobile C-Arm Staffing Services. Check them out at c-armandstaffing.com. 561-891-9620. That's 561-891-9620. Here's the deal. If you work in a medical office, hospital, tell your people there about Mobile C-Arm and Staffing Services. They bring the x-ray equipment and the staffing to you. Total professionals, just really good people, and huge Miami Heat fans. They'll walk you through the entire process. You can reach out on their website directly, or again, call them at 561-891-9620. It's 561-891-9620. And ask for Nelson. You get a price estimate right away. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so Eric Spoelstra, we're going to post this on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subbed Five Reasons Sports YouTube channel. Got over 26,000 subscribers there. We appreciate you guys. And I asked Eric today about managing a star as he ages. And I did bring up Dwayne, you know, in his experience doing that. And Eric gave a 2.5-minute answer on this, which, again, I always appreciate him being thoughtful. And I will say this about Eric today, Alex, before we get into the specifics. I think more relaxed than we've seen him in a little while, a little bit more open. I'm not calling it relief because he's certainly not relieved that they're done. He kept talking about this. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He was joking about how last year he had like 3 days to look at the draft before they drafted Hawkins. And this year he's going to be completely annoying and he knows people are going to be telling him to keep away. Because he's got all this time, obviously, before the Olympics start, and he doesn't really know what to do with himself. He's a junkie about this kind of stuff, and he's obviously going to dive into it. But I thought he was, I don't know, very comfortable in his own skin, but uncomfortable about what happened this season. That's kind of what it felt like to me. And the answer on Jimmy, let's start there, and then we're going to get into his comments about Tyler, his comments about clutch situations, his comments specifically I want to get to with you about the offense. And also about load management, in quotes. But his comment about Jimmy today, and again, I recommend people check it on the YouTube channel. He talked about this being their sixth season together and how it's different then, that he remembered his first meeting with Jimmy and that your relationship matures and that he considers it a privilege and an honor to be with someone that long. And he did talk about it a bit in a Dwayne context and about how they grew together. And look, I can speak to that firsthand. I mean, there was the early relationship with Spo and Dwayne where he was a shooting coach as an assistant. Then he was a head coach. And Dwayne, they both talked about it. It was clunky for a couple of years with Dwayne as the lead star with kind of an overmatched team. And then Spo having to assume the role of head coach. And instead of being his buddy, you know, he was overseeing everything, but they weren't really partners on stuff. And then during the Big Three era, there were rocky moments between the two of them. When LeBron came in, I mean, Dwayne tried to set the culture, but there's always the famous thing in Indiana where, you know, there's a lot more that I've talked about that happened than people really know about. But, you know, Dwayne not running back on defense and going at Spo on the sideline. And then to see the growth in their relationship from there to then Dwayne's return and how close they became by the end. So he talked about him and Jimmy. This is what I took away from it as partners in this. And the one thing I want to say about that is I've never heard a single bad thing uttered by Jimmy or anybody close to Jimmy specifically about Spo. Now, maybe I'm naive about this, but I kind of feel like Spo is Jimmy's favorite person in the organization. And I don't know that that's changed. And so I don't feel like if there is any tension specifically, it's between Jimmy and Spo. What did you take from Spo's comments on Jimmy today?
Kind of like what I was saying before the break, just that it does, you know, like you said, he described him as a partner and all of it just kind of reiterated and confirmed what I was already thinking, that they're going to run this back. And I know that's going to trigger some people. I don't mean the entire roster, you know, I just mean, you know, Jimmy, because that does seem to be something that people, I think, are starting to get concerned about with the smoke that's been coming out there recently. So, no, I do think they're both still on the same page. I think Jimmy, this is a business matter. I don't think it's anything to do with Heat. I mean, you know, the Heat organization specifically. Of course, I'm not the one to be confirming that. It's just from what I can tell from the outside. And, you know, at one point he also said, Spo did, that, you know, he considers himself simpatico with the fan base, simpatico with Jimmy when it comes to kind of believing in the same things and, you know, being all about winning. All of it to me points to Jimmy's going to be back. And maybe some, you know, part of what's been going out is part of, you know, the way that we get there, right? Since the offseason just started, this is just the beginning of this saga. And maybe there will be some drama to it. Who knows how the Heat feel when it comes to extending him. Me personally, I feel at this point, it's either you pay him and you extend him, give him that extra year on top of the, you know, the raise for the year he has already on his contract, right? So you're giving him one extra year, and it's either you pay him that or you trade him. I don't think there's any point of haggling him on the number. There isn't. This isn't 2010 when, you know, you needed LeBron, Dwayne, and Chris Bosh all to take pay cuts just so that they can fit under a certain number. I mean, so you could fit Udonis Haslam and Mike Miller into the cap. The Heat are nowhere near cap room, way over the cap, way over the tax, and they're pretty close to the second apron. So to me, there is no point in haggling Jimmy on the number, on him taking a pay cut. Give the man the, you know, kind of the standard, his max for what he can receive, which I believe there's a reason he can only ask for 1 year because of that over 38 rule. Mm-hmm. And so he's just asking for a year. I think you give it to him and you go all in, which doesn't mean you sacrifice every single piece, every single pick, right? But you either go all in or you commit to a retooling. It doesn't have to be a full tank, but you commit to, you know, going young. And I think they're going to stick with Jimmy. And honestly, I think that's what they should do. I don't think they should end this right now. And, you know, they should shake things up. But I don't think trading Jimmy right now is the move.
Well, the counter that people are going to come up with there, and we're going to devote many episodes to this, but the counter is, well, if you give Jimmy that money, you have less flexibility to do other things to actually go all in with him. But again, you have less flexibility under the second apron, which is kind of is there no cross line?
But there's no avoiding that.
I'm in agreement with them on that. Well, okay, but what I'm saying is kind of like I'm with you about the idea of he's not going to take less money than that.
And there's no point. There's not point. Like a player that you'd be getting because he takes less money. That's
right. And also, I can tell you that the Players Association would frown upon it. This is this fantasy that fans have about guys taking less, which is basically because Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki were comfortable where they were. I mean, those are the two guys. They did, but to a degree. I mean, that was always exaggerated. I mean, look, LeBron ended up getting all the money that he was supposed to get. They got sick. LeBron and Dwayne is the one who made some sacrifices. Okay, I don't want to get into UD and Mike because again, they're not stars. Okay, but. Everybody respects what UD did, but we're talking about star level players here. Okay. And, you know, as far as Dwayne, yes, he was never the highest paid guy. There were a lot of circumstances that played into that. He did get screwed over by the timing of the Whiteside contract, all kinds of things that I sided with Dwayne on. But I'm just saying, like, it's a little bit exaggerated on how much less they all actually ultimately took. They made up for it with some endorsements, some other things that kind of came around. And
they did it for a reason. And I don't think
they did it for a reason, but they also, you know, Bosh and LeBron also wanted those 6 year deals, which they both ended up opting out of after four, and LeBron left and Bosh ended up getting even more money. So, and that forced the Heat to give up first round picks that if they'd had those first round picks, they probably would able to supplement that team for longer. And part of this is the rules change because Gilbert changed the rules on him and the NBA changed the rules on him. But again, the idea that guys take less money is just, it's antiquated. He's not going to take less. So and you cannot have him in a situation because of his past and his reputation and his general demeanor. You cannot have him in a situation where he's unhappy about his contract. That is a mess. And so I think even the threat of that is concerning enough that I'm with you. It's either you're paying him and you're going all in with him, which I have some reservations about, given his decline. There is a legitimate statistical decline. We've talked about it, given his availability issues. But if you're doing it, you're doing it, okay? And if you're not doing it, you should trade him somewhere else and give him an opportunity to win there And you, like you said, it's not a rebuild. You're not, they don't even have pick the year after this. It's not a rebuild. It's your you're kind of reframing it, maybe taking a small step back around Bam, Jovic, Hakez, whatever you probably get for Hero and whatever you get for Jimmy. That's kind of what you're doing.
Restocking draft assets, probably.
Right. Restocking draft assets to then move for other stars, which is another option. And it doesn't have to be. You could draft, but I think more likely you go after players in their mid to late 20s and you kind of go that way. But again, it's one or the other. I'm with you. Like it cannot be, we're just going to hold on to him and not extend him. This is going to be a complete mess. And if that's the case, and I think anybody reasonable knows that, but I do think the point on is, as we pivot back to Spo, is I got the sense today, like it's very much in Spo's head. We're moving forward. Like he's not the one signing the checks, but like him talking about that. And I love the answer he gave to me, because I think it is revealing in the sense of, you know, he wants an opportunity to be with someone that he has this relationship, because I think he believes he can reach Jimmy. I think that's a big part of this, again, because they've been together so long. And until I hear somebody credible tell me that Jimmy has an issue with Spo, I'm not going to believe it, because I have heard the opposite for 5 years now. So I've heard that Jimmy would run through a wall for Spo and for Pat, and there's great respect for Andy too. So I don't think it's that. I think there are other things that have gone on here that have become, Jimmy has idiosyncrasies that I think have been frustrating, and it only sort of works when he plays. If he plays and he's playing at a high level, you look past it. This year, he didn't play enough, and his play was choppy. It's just the way it is. And we've talked about the rim metrics and other things like that. There is signs of a decline, which is natural for a guy who's going to be almost 35 years old and has that kind of wear on his tires. Okay, let's get to number two here, because we pretty much devoted the whole episode to Jimmy so far. Number two I wanted to get to is the load management thing. I guess that does play into Jimmy. For somebody who says we have enough all the time, Spo was very open to the questioning today on it, and very reasonable, I thought. He wasn't as we have enough, like right before a game. He says they're not a load management team. I can tell you that front office people have told me the same thing. We are not a load management team. They talk about the Spurs kind of bringing this in, but that's not their way. And he kind of more talked about circumstances and luck and all this other kind of stuff. Only two guys played at least 70 games this year, Bam and Hakez. And Hakez wore down as a result of it. Duncan obviously had sort of a strange injury. He was on his way to over 70 games. What did you take from his answer about that? It seems to me like he says, we're going to look at everything. We're going to investigate everything. We're going to try to figure it out. I don't know if that means changes on the training staff. I don't know if that means changes in practice approach. I don't know if that's trying to get guys back on the floor. But he did say one other thing before I let you. He said this is a league thing. He did say that a couple times. And so to me, you know what that makes me think? It's what I've said. It's agents. It's other. It's the modern player, to a certain degree, that wants to be 100% before he plays. And I don't know that that was the case 10 years ago, or certainly not in the Timmy Zoe days under Pat, where they all played 79 to 82 games. What did you take of his answer about load management?
It was interesting. And that was just kind of how the whole, you know, media session started with Spo, and hearing him talk about, you know, he just went out and directly called it off base, think that, you know, they don't take the regular season seriously. And I appreciate that, and I agree with that. I don't think Spo is the one that people are thinking isn't taking the regular season seriously. So, you know, I didn't think that part was hard for him to say, right? Like, they, of course they take the season seriously. That doesn't, you know, both things can be true. They can take the season seriously, and also it does feel like over the years, correct me if I'm wrong, the NBA regular season has just been de-emphasized as time has gone by, and it's more, and it doesn't mean you're not trying. It doesn't mean you don't. It's a joke. It just means that, you know, you're kind of inverting the priority, because it's like it's all about getting to the playoffs, especially with a team like the Heat where there's older guys. It's like, you know, like you said, it's guys and their agents and them being like, okay, we're not going to play when we're 100%. And I'm sure at other times it's the Heat saying, okay, we're not going to rush you back. Like they, and I think the best way to put it is just how he said it is, you know, we're not a load management team. He says that he could see why people would point to that because of the missed games. But ultimately, there are things that happened, and sometimes you can't control that. And I think that was what I took away most from it. It's like, no, it's not that we didn't try. You know, we had all these starting lineups because things happened. You know, we had, there was bad injury luck. Like Jimmy had his things. Tyler had his thing. You know, Bam missed a little portion there, but
Terry's mysterious thing, Duncan's thing. I mean,
my goodness, man. Like everybody has gotten it, including other role players as well. And it's just constantly in and out, in and out. There's no consistency offensively or defensively. We're going to get into the other stuff that, you know, that he mentioned about that. But yeah, like that's where we're at.
Well, I'm glad we were going to get into the offense part next because this plays into that. But it's interesting that three guys who did talk today, two of them were directly asked about trying to push through too much, which are Caleb and Duncan. And, you know, Duncan said he didn't regret trying to come back, but we all know that he was nowhere near 100%. And Caleb, you know, tried to keep playing. And it's been said to me by some in the organization that the two guys that will try to push through anything are Caleb and Bam. And it was Bam they had to shut down with a hip, if you remember, on that New York trip, because he wanted to keep playing. So there is a little bit of a balance here between guys who want to play and the organization has to tell them no, and others who seem to not want to play until they're 100%. And I don't know that there's total alignment among everybody about, I think some of it is generational, about like how much a guy should be pushed to play or should be encouraged to play when they're playing with something that is bothering them. But it's clear that the players need to be more available. And the one thing I will say about Spo saying we do value the regular season is that there is a perception also that Spo holds certain things back for the playoffs. And that's even been sort of thrown out there by players on podcasts and other places. So I think all of this is coming together where I do think the organization needs to look at this and say, all right, how important is seeding? Okay. Maybe it's not important to be the one seed like it was in the Big Three era. And they got to the finals twice not being the one seed. But it's certainly more important than it's looked the past couple of years. Okay. I mean, there is a difference between gunning for the one seed or can we try to get home court in the first round, even if we suck at home?
Like, can we get out of the play-in? Which, by the way, he did say, he said our goal is not to fight for the play-in every year.
Right. That was actually his best quote. I don't know why I didn't tweet that one out. It's not to fight for, I mean, it is. He talked about seeding more this year than he ever has. And yet they still didn't get themselves out of a play-in situation. All right, let's pivot to the next one here, the offense. The players, I'm going to get more into the players with Brady, but they talked about the lack of continuity being a problem on offense. Bam even talked about, when I asked him that wasn't my question. It was someone asked, I think it was Coop, what his biggest improvement needed to be this offseason. And he said it was being able to direct players more on offense, being more vocal. But they talked about continuity. That is about player lack of availability. They all kind of got into this a little bit today. And again, someone who wasn't available a lot, two of them who weren't available a lot, Tyler and Jimmy, were not there to speak. They weren't available today, okay? But they weren't available on the court that much this season. But Spo said we had three different offenses this year, and then that was repeated by Duncan. What do you think he meant by that?
Yeah, that was honestly the one that stood out the most to me, other than him just kind of, again, fighting really hard back at the idea that they don't take the season seriously. Because that's something that he doesn't really do when it comes to, like, he mentioned, you know, the exact quote, we weren't able to find consistency with our three different offensive philosophies. I have not heard him say that before all season long. And you won't, right? Like, he's not going to give away any sort of outline of what he's doing. I'm even surprised he said it today, even though the season's over, because I'm sure, like, you know, they're probably going to go back to some of this stuff. I'm sure they're not going to throw out every single portion of their offense, right? So I was definitely surprised to hear that. And I guess, like, If we're trying to figure out what those three offensive philosophies are, it's tough to put it into three, but I guess it's, and you're right. Duncan did say that, like, they play different styles throughout the season. And I think a lot of it, of course, has to do with guys being in and out. But, like, if you remember earlier in the season and also kind of early last season too, you know, in the first halves of both of these past two seasons, there's more Bam ISO, more Bam post up. So I don't know if that identity of their offense is one of them, where, you know, because that's not really something that they went to with Bam for those first few years of this Jimmy era. Like, this is, you know, the past couple of seasons where they've relied on him more to score and getting that midi and getting, you know, developing all the different counters. So I think that really slow paced, almost more like kind of modern traditional, right? It's like a modernized version of the old traditional game where it's like you're still getting these post-ups, but you're doing it face up as well. It's like this hybrid 4 or 5 game. I think that's one of it. I think the other one is probably, you know, the one where they play faster pace and move the ball more. And it's the one that they go to when Jimmy's not on the floor, right? It's what we see when he's gone. And it's, you know, more Duncan and Bam, two-man game, a lot more movement. The ball is popping and we're all like, oh, you know, they can win regular season games and play offense without Jimmy. And I think that's another one. And my other guess would be the Jimmy offense and kind of Tyler too. Not that they play the same way, of course, but, you know, back to the slow pace stuff, but it's in a different way. Like the Jimmy offense, we already know the bread and butter to get him the guard screen, to get, you know, a guard switched on to him or any sort of action like that where it's him involved barreling to the rim. And the Tyler thing has usually been slow paced throughout this era, but I think even that's changed, you know, over the past season or so. I think he's, you know, he fits into the faster version. And of course, we've seen his game with Bam, but it is kind of three different styles. And I do think it's part of what we were talking about throughout the season. It's like earlier in the season with the Tyler and Bam game, right? And a lot of people wanted Duncan to start so they could have a better ball movement offense and things like that. Like I think them having these different identities on the offensive side of the floor and how often guys are coming in and out messed with that consistency for sure. And, you know, as was mentioned today, the most starting lineups in franchise history, like that's not easy. That's not easy to play through, especially like when Spo says you're just kind of switching up the way you play depending on who's in or out, not to mention everything they already do and switch up and mix up on the defensive end. So yeah, that was definitely interesting to hear. And I honestly, after that, I wanted to ask Spo a follow-up about that, but he actually went on for the longest out of everybody I spoke today, I think.
Yeah, it seemed like he wanted to get some things off his chest in a more relaxed setting this time. You know, the single biggest thing, like I think he said, was we don't intend to be a play-in team, and that I just think the level of disappointment for where they were this season. All right, we went on a little bit longer on this one than we intended, and actually as we're recording this, I need to do a playback episode. Make sure you guys are all checking out Playback, playback.tv/5RSN, playback.tv/5RSN. We will be following other NBA games on there, but also continuing to do episodes on the Heat. We're going to be introducing some Panther episodes there and some Dolphin episodes as we go forward. I'll just close with this before I've got to run over to that playback here, which was, I thought that he spoke for Tyler Hero a little bit today in Tyler's absence with one thing he said, and we'll get into this more in another episode, but he basically said that this was a time where Tyler had to deal with a team scheming for him. And I think that's not an excuse, but it is an explanation. And that's something as we talk about Tyler more going forward, and as Pat Riley inevitably speaks, which that I would expect that to be soon, I'm sure he's going to be asked a lot of questions about that, and people will read in to what he says there. But Eric Spoelstra at least sort of outlined what I think the Heat's case is going to be, either for keeping Tyler or to another team for trying to acquire Tyler, which is, look, he hadn't experienced this before. He was in the playoffs, and he was the focus of the game plan, and I think that is a little bit different than where he's been before. I want to thank our sponsors, c-armandstaffing.com and also Tub Culture. Use that code 5FIVE. Get your Mother's Day stuff now. Get in there. Brady and I will be back to go through what Bam, Hawkes, Caleb, Haywood, some of the, and DeLon, Duncan, and some of the other players said at the last one. And of course, Duncan, who we've touched on a little bit today. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.